Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Acclaimed writer Alan Ball, who won an Oscar for American Beauty and multiple Emmys for 6 Feet Under, has a brand new show on HBO called Here and Now. What do we think? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are family. I got all my sisters in me. We are
acapella is coming in.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a show where we review Hollywood's hottest pilots and tell you whether you should pass or play. Quick clarification, we're not an after show, so rather than reviewing the same show week after week, we bring you a brand new show every week and just talk about the pilot. As I mentioned, today we're reviewing Alan Ball's brand new HBO show, Here and Now. It's kind of a domestic family drama that we'll be getting into, but before we do that, my name is Jeff. If you want to find me on the internet, you can do it on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. I'm lucky to be joined by three very intelligent women. Linda, let's start with you.
Hi, folks. Linda Antwi. You can find me all across social media at Linda So Girly.
Hey, guys. I'm Taylor Gates. You can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
And we have Brianna, our producer and engineer in the booth.
Hey, everyone. You guys can find me at bfibs14 on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's talk about this show. As I mentioned, this is a show called Here and Now. It's written by Alan Ball, and we'll get into some of his credits in a little bit. But basically, it feels kind of like HBO's answer to This Is Us. I don't know if you guys got that. It's a multi-generational family drama with elements of adoption and diversity, and I would love to hear what you guys thought of this show. Taylor, let's start with you.
So my first impressions were that it sort of felt Parenthood-y, but also with aspects of The Fosters, and some of the editing reminded me a little bit of Big Little Lies, which makes sense because both HBO. It just felt kind of like a grittier like Parenthood was my first impression of it.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I'm very intrigued by it.
So you're a play.
I'm a play.
And you're a recommended play as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Linda Antwi.
I thought it was definitely a grittier This Is Us, HBO version of This Is Us, like you said. It kept my attention. I think I like the diversity of the cast. I like the premise of the show, but I wasn't quite 100% with everything that was going on because there was a lot going on in the 60, I think it was like 65 minutes. So I'm going to say that I'm a tentative play because I'm curious what the next episode is going to be like, if it's going to settle down a little bit. And I'm going to say I'm a play for
audiences.
You all, just so that you can see that there's something else out there to watch.
I think I am so similar to you that I want Bree to go before I do, because I'm just going to repeat what you just said.
I'm a little bit along the lines of Linda. I did think that there was like a little too much going on. For me, it was just a lot to take in for a very first episode. I kind of wished that we had focused on just a more singular thing than everything going on at once. I would maybe be a play to see where it was going if I didn't watch so much television, but because I think there's so much television in this day and age that I would be a pass just because you have to really sell me to get me to watch the next one. But I maybe would encourage people to play so I could like listen from them if it gets better, so I could tune back in afterwards.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm on the same page as I think the two of you, Linda and Brie. I think this is a very ambitious show. I think it's trying to tackle a lot, which I really appreciate. I like any show. And, of course, Alan Ball's never just going to create a regular show. He wrote American Beauty. I think he's trying to address a lot of the same topics in this, sort of the problems of rich white America, which can be very interesting. And, you know, a lot of American art is rooted in that tradition, a lot of playwriting especially, which is where Alan Ball got his start. That being said, I think this show, for me, failed on a lot of accounts to sort of achieve the success of the ambition it was reaching for. Mm-hmm. I do think it was beautifully shot. I think it does kind of have the same...
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Look as Big Little Lies, the same very cinematic kind of almost vintage-y filters on the way it's shot. And yeah, we'll get into it. I actually thought these performances were great. I just kind of had trouble with the actual bones of the show, unfortunately, even though there's a lot I liked about it. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt this pilot was ultimately a bit of a failure. Mm-hmm. That being said, I will definitely watch another because I liked the idea that the show is as ambitious as it is. And that's enough, especially because I like Alan Ball's other work. I would say American Beauty might be one of my favorite movies ever. It's enough to sell me to keep watching. So I'm a play, though I don't know if I'd recommend this show to many people based on the pilot alone. I think this show in theory is a show I would love, so I'm going to keep watching it to see if I get on board. Okay, so at this point, we always talk a bit about the development history of this show. I've been hitting it pretty hard, but this show is created by Alan Ball. You know him from, of course, American Beauty, which a lot of people say is one of the greatest films of the 90s. Definitely one of my favorite films. He also created 6 Feet Under and True Blood, which people really like. And I think he co-created Banshee, or at least was an executive producer on that show. Do you guys have much experience with Alan Ball's work?
All of those things.
Great.
Except for the last one, but yes. Mm-hmm.
I've only seen American Beauty. I haven't seen either of the other shows, so.
You would like 6 Feet Under a lot.
Does that also have Peter Krause in it?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
But this did not have Peter Krause.
No, wow, I'm thinking of 911. My
totally
bad.
Fine. Well,
I've been watching a lot of TV lately.
You're okay. Tim Robbins kind of looks like Peter Krause, which
maybe
is why.
Maybe that's why.
I thought maybe you confused them, which would be actually logical. They're both old white dudes. Not to discredit Tim Robbins. I thought he was very good in this pilot, but I do think they look a little bit alike. Cool. So you like Alan Ball. Well, you like American Beauty.
I like American Beauty a lot, yeah.
And you're a fan of 6 Feet Under. And,
I am.
Yeah.
I wasn't super into True Blood, but I get the fanfare about it.
Yeah, how did you feel like this show, the pilot specifically, kind of compared with the bar that he had set with his previous television work?
Again, I felt like for 6 Feet Under, I felt it was more simple and easy to follow and tackling less issues. And I know there were way more issues nowadays, but I felt like even if I can think back to the pilot of 6 Feet Under, it was simple to follow.
Right.
And you fell in love with the characters right away. American Beauty, same thing. Mm-hmm. Even though there was that mystical element, it was still very simple.
Right.
And this one, I love that I felt like I knew the characters, even though it was only the pilot episode, but there was also a lot going on. No, like the characters had a lot of depth, but almost too much depth, if that makes sense. And then they threw in the mystical aspect, and I was like, wait, what
is this?
Like, why are we doing so much? I'm just trying to get to know you guys, but I feel like I've missed out 10 years of your lives.
Yeah, I kind of felt like this show was simultaneously about everything, but also about nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, There's another show that did this too. Oh, if you guys ever seen the movie Synecdoche, New York,
mm-mm.
It's a Charlie Kaufman movie. I kind of got the same thing where you really have to admire the ambition of the writer who's doing it, but at the same time, trying to tackle race and gender and homosexuality and liberal America and psychiatry and doing all of that in 60 minutes, I feel like nothing was really illuminated for me. Yeah. And like you mentioned, 6 feet under. So typically when we do these reviews, we'll kind of start with character, but with such a theme forward show, I say we sort of start by talking about the format and the themes, because mm-hmm. that seems to be like what the show is.
Yeah.
This is what I was frustrated with, was I didn't know what the show was. And I do think in a pilot, it's kind of your job, whether you give us the best narrative, you have to show us like what the show is.
Yeah.
And right now I don't really know.
Right. Is it about this family and being kind of liberal before its time? Mm-hmm. Or is it about the mystical aspect? Or is it about psychiatry?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it about dysfunction? Or is it about depression? Like, I can go on. There were so many topics, and it was almost overwhelming, because yes, these are all important issues, but maybe you don't all tackle them in the pilot episode.
Right.
Maybe you ease us into it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It was definitely a stuffed pilot. Like, mm-hmm. there was a million characters that they introduced kind of all at once, like one after another. And I think that my biggest, I guess, qualm was the mystical element that you guys were talking about, because I don't feel like they're fully committing to it yet.
Right.
I feel like when you only have one character experiencing it, it makes it really hard for that to be a theme, if that makes sense. Like, you can't halfway have supernatural stuff, right?
And then backtrack and diagnose it as perhaps mania or schizophrenia.
Right.
And then say the brother has schizophrenia, but he's adopted, so it can't be, like, it's genetic. You know, like, there was so much.
Yeah, to push back against what you're saying, Taylor, I think you could have made the show about that, but you just would have had to make the show about that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of too hidden right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it feels like this very nebulous, it almost feels like an afterthought. And if you're going to have rampant hallucinations be an afterthought in your show, it feels a little disrespectful to the audience almost, or almost disrespectful to yourself as a writer. That it's the icing on the cake is a potentially very serious psychological illness, and that's kind of like treated as like the sprinkles.
And they're sort of marketing it like it's a supernatural thing, right? Because I've read some of the kind of synopsis, and that was kind of a main theme in most of the things that I've read about. So I don't think it is psychological. I think it's actual supernatural thing, which doesn't make sense for just one character to sort of have it right now, to
agree.
Me at least.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with all of you guys as well. I think that they should have focused either on this family aspect, or they should have focused on the supernatural mm-hmm. aspect. You know, you can always do the family aspect and bring a supernatural theme into season two or towards the end of the season to kind of vamp people up for season two. But yep. I think mm-hmm. it was just a lot to handle in just this very initial episode.
Totally agree.
Because if they would have had little hints of it, like maybe just one of those scenes with them experiencing it, and then drug it out a little bit longer, but they went pretty hard with it for just one guy.
And to shove the 11-11 mm-hmm. down our throats so many times, like, I got it when you went to
the coffee shop thing.
Right, yeah. And he went to the clock
laundry
again.
Shop,
yeah, and then he's on the treadmill, and again, it gets stuck there. Okay, you know what? I get that's going to be important.
Yeah.
And then the candles, I get that, but then it just went on and on. I just felt like, wow, you're really shoving this down my throat. Like, yep. I get what you're saying. You don't need to repeat it over and over mm-hmm. again to me.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt, Linda. I was just jumping off what you're saying. In general, I felt like this pilot was showing us its cards a little too much and not enough. And yeah, it's funny. I feel like one of the things I love about Alan Ball is he's often a pretty subtle writer. And I think, like, this show was a lot of things, but, like, subtle might not be one of them.
It was not.
It was pretty subtle to me, at least, until he made the big speech at the birthday party. And I was like, okay, this is pretty
heavy-handed.
Melodramatic now.
Yeah. That, and then the part where, and I won't, like, totally repeat it, but when they're like, oh, it was in the diner. And they're like, oh, we adopted 3 kids from Liberia, Vietnam, and Colombia, all countries that the U.S. effed up. I mean, like, you don't have to tell me don't feed it to me.
Right.
Let me just let the story unfold and let me figure it out for myself. And I felt like that was a recurring event in this pilot.
You
where
agree.
they would do something and then they would tell me that this is what they're doing.
Totally agree.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys would agree on this too. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Did you feel like we were getting like almost too, like, it's kind of spinning off what you said, Linda, but that every character we had to try to get a lot of backstory for them
too
right
much
off the
backstory.
Bat?
Too much. I mean, the the daughter from Libya who's married but not happy in her marriage, has a kid. It's interracial, but then she's in the fashion industry, but then she wants to, like, bang this model. Like, okay, that was in 5 minutes.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And it's funny because I appreciate the attempt to give us really deep, rich characters, but something about the way it we found out was just very tell, not show.
Mm-hmm. Right, and could you not have that unfold? Like, if I'm comparing it to This Is Us, that story unfolded and we're still trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. which is what brings me back every single week. Here, it was like, I felt like it was crammed down my throat. Like, this is the story, this is the backstory, get it, as we move forward.
Right.
Which, do you need all of that in the pilot? I don't know. You want to lay the foundation, like you said.
Yeah.
When we talk about Tina Fey and 30 Rock and, like, the ideal pilot, you want to get to know the characters. You don't necessarily need to know everything about the characters mm-hmm. in the first pilot episode.
Right. Yeah, I think this kind of leads me to the question of, like, what do you guys think this show is? Because, like, each of these characters sometimes felt more like a mouthpiece or a symbol than a character. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with that. It's almost like I would have preferred to see this played out on a stage, maybe as a play. Mm. It almost felt like this was a play that was brought to television. And I think when you're telling stories on TV, you just have to do it a little differently than you would in playwriting. Mm. What do you, like, if you were to explain this show to a friend, what would you say?
You're putting me on the spot. Yeah, I'm sorry, coming up with really a log line right now, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm making you come up with a log line.
I don't have a log line, but I would say that I was watching a family drama, like a dysfunctional family drama
yeah.
that had, like, weird mystical elements mm-hmm. to it that I'm not sure what they are yet.
Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
That's a great, actually, yeah. summation. All this stuff about, I think, like, in a show like This Is Us, all of the conflict is about the relationships of the characters, where in this, I felt like it was, like, more external. Like, it was yeah. like, I'm adopted and it's hard to live in Portland, or it's, I don't know, I would have been more interested, and this is just the pilot. We're talking about one episode of the show yeah. that I'm going to keep watching, but I felt like in this pilot, I was told all of the problems that these characters have with each other, and in the world. Like, I feel like Alan Ball's really trying to say a lot about, like, a post-Trumpian America and the lives of the liberal white elite. But, like, we were told, I just feel like each of these characters felt like a device for Alan Ball to make these interesting observations. But if you're going to do that, write an essay, you know? We don't need to, if you're going to fictionalize that, it needs to be story first, I think, rather than sort of theme first.
Also, Jeff, I know that we had talked a little bit about this, but I know you kind of had even a little hard time believing some of the relationships in this. And I'm not, and I don't blame the actors because I thought all the acting was good, but yeah, it was kind of hard to buy these all as, like, siblings because they didn't seem to, like, really connect with each other in a way.
See, that's where I kind of disagree on that personally, because I wrote down their names because there's a lot of characters.
A lot of characters.
But the fact that the two youngest siblings and the two oldest siblings were definitely closer with one another, I thought rang really true, because when you have, you know, four kids in a family, a lot of times you'll gravitate towards, like, one sibling over another. And I thought the dialogue between Ashley and, I don't, what's his name? Is it Duke or?
Yep, Duh? It's Duke. I've got
Duke?
It.
Duke? Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought their conversation in the cafe, while they did talk about, you know, they did a lot of telling in that scene, I did feel like their dialogue was pretty natural and, mm-hmm. like, playful, which I really liked. Like, I liked that relationship a lot. Mm-hmm. And I liked the scene in the bedroom between the two youngest siblings, too, because they're kind of the, like, screw-ups in a way.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, where I thought that the show was, like, strongest, was between the siblings. Like, I really liked watching their interactions personally.
I agree with you. I think that the relationships were one of the most believable parts of this. And I also thought that it was relatable. Like, we all can relate to one of these characters in some form,
yeah.
shape, or way. So, yeah.
I mean, I get what you guys are saying. I think for me, it was just the dialogue that was happening in between them. I would rather it been a more how siblings actually talk,
right,
rather than like, let me tell you my entire back history.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, they interacted like siblings would, but didn't necessarily talk to each other like siblings
would. The content
would.
Of the conversations yeah. was maybe yeah. not super authentic.
Yeah. Which actually owes a lot to these performances. Yeah. I think in general, this show is very well acted.
And a lot of them are new, right? I haven't seen
new-ish.
A lot of them.
The girls from Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. I know. Oh, okay. And obviously Tim Robbins and Holly Hunt.
Holly Hunter,
are established actors, but
right.
the other ones I was
That's
not familiar with.
From Grey's Anatomy. I was like, why do I know this actress?
Yeah, pretty new acting. And in general, I thought the performances were actually excellent mm-hmm. in this show. Mm-hmm. Pretty much across the board, to the point where I thought they were acting themselves through some, I think, challenging dialogue. Like dialogue that other actors might not be able to convince us as mm-hmm. much. Which owes to the fact that all of us liked the relationships, even if we didn't necessarily believe them in the way they speak. It was the way they were performed.
Yeah. This is a little bit off topic, but did anyone else have trouble believing the youngest sibling was 17?
Yes.
She
100%
did not. I thought she was like 21 at the beginning.
She's like in her 30s. I hate to say
yeah,
it.
She's 25. The actor's 25. I was yeah. like, okay, maybe like 21, 22. 17 does not feel believable for me for her.
Yeah.
And then are we going to even talk about this, the whole, because I was like, is the horse thing part of this mystical thing?
Yeah.
And like, you're a virgin, but all of a sudden you're free and liberal.
I kind of felt like they just wanted to give her an identity because everyone else had such a unique thing and she didn't. So they're like, we're going to make her just be kind of weird.
It's like yeah. overly quirky.
I agree with you, Bray. Yeah, which isn't, again, it's a pilot. It's hard. He had a lot of characters to work with, but yeah, I do feel like that was an example of, like, hipster television kind of really yeah. shoved down our throat. And, like, if the horse head were a one-scene thing, I think it would have been enough to give us a character trait. But to have her just persistently wear that, I almost found distracting.
Mm-hmm. Especially during the sex scene.
Yeah, right, it's completely distracting. Like, this is your first time that you're going to always remember, and you had a horse head on, like...
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I admire the ambition. Like, I love that idea on paper. Like, I feel like if I would have read this pilot, I would have been in love with it. But when it was rendered on screen, some of it just didn't ring in as true of a way, especially when there is shows like This Is Us or Parenthood that are on. And I was thinking back to what you were saying about the believability of the relationships. I wish we would have gotten one, like, dinner table scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you guys watch Transparent?
No.
So, actually, I think this show has a lot in common with Transparent because... We'll get into it a little bit when we talk about the actual characters, but I think, like, unlikable characters could be an argument that's made about this show, which is definitely true of Transparent. Like, they're all very self-centered and liberal in the same way that they are in this show. But one of the first scenes we get is all of them at dinner. And I think, like, those, as from a writing standpoint, rather than giving us all their separate worlds, I would have loved one family scene, because I feel like that can be such an easy way to get to know not only everyone individually, but as a
the
group
dynamics.
As well.
That's
the
a
family.
Great point.
That is mm-hmm. a great point.
Because I think the birthday party was like halfway there,
right.
because we got all of them together, but not all of them were forced to talk to one another.
And they didn't all really interact. Like, I thought it was interesting that the wife had like maybe one scene with her husband and
yeah.
a kid, mm-hmm. and then that was kind of it. She was with the mom during the speech, and I was just envisioning like my family gatherings, you would probably be with your spouse, and the, I don't know, just mm-hmm. something was off about the dynamics of it all to me personally.
Yeah.
But if it was like a dinner table scene, that's real, you know, because your guards are down mm-hmm. and you're just interacting on who you are while you're eating, which is something that we just talked about earlier.
Yes, exactly.
And it makes you focus in because those scenes were a little cluttered with all like the friends and the like
right.
girlfriends and boyfriends, and it just was extra people.
I will say the one thing I did like about the interactions with the husband and wife is I liked this idea of what she's putting out to the world is like, we're fine, we're in love. Like, her little speech introing him was so beautiful, but like then their actual relationship is not that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like he wasn't trying to pretend, but she kind of was. I think that was a kind of very realistic portrayal of a lot of America in a way.
True. Yeah. That's a great point, Brie. Which I think should bring us to the next conversation we have is not the performances necessarily, but these actual characters. How did you guys feel about the 8 really characters that Alan Ball gave us in this pilot overall?
I guess I'm in the minority because I liked all of them. Like, I really did. I mm-hmm. found redeeming qualities about all of them. Even the ones that I didn't like at first, like the dad, like Greg. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's cheating with a prostitute.
Right.
So I'm like, ew, like, this is cliche, kind of. I don't love this. But the scene where he's crying in that car, like, I think that's just, it speaks to the actor of, like, I felt for him in that, and I understood, like, someone I didn't think was going to be redeemable, just the minute he started crying in the car and pulled over, I was like, wow, I feel for him. Like, he's got something going on.
Yeah.
So I like them because they are all really flawed, and I mean, I lean towards really flawed characters, like sort of anti-hero type people, and I'm really intrigued to know more about them and figure out where they're going. Like, I care about all of them already.
Good.
Yeah, no, I liked all of the characters. I thought that they cast this and acted this perfectly for what this is. I think Greg, the Tim Robbins character, I had a little bit of trouble with because I couldn't really understand where he was coming from. Like, depression didn't automatically jump out at me until they, like, again, forced it down my throat. And I felt like his breakdown when he was having a speech at his 60th birthday wasn't as authentic as the breakdown he had in the car when he started crying.
Right.
And I felt like, I don't know if that's believable to me, but he is a philosopher, so maybe it is. I don't know. But, like, the whole speech that he gave at his birthday, and then he sat back on the stairs when his son was having a breakdown and didn't come to the son. I didn't buy that 100%. And then Holly Hunter, Annie, she's, like, part of her is, like, every mom, like, controlling and, like, super wanting to be involved. And what is it? Like, the when the birds leave the nest syndrome, empty nest syndrome.
Yeah, she's empty nester.
So she's that, and she played that to a T. But then when she was in the
therapy session,
I was just like, there's no way. This guy's a grown adult. He's out. He's smart. Apparently, like, he's, like, some computer programmer from what I read. Why would you let your mom be like that in therapy? I would just be like, you know what? I'm hiring him. You guys got to go. I don't know. It was just too...
I actually weirdly kind of like that. I think it speaks to the credit maybe this show deserves, because we do have a lot of varying opinions about this pilot. I feel like I've been hard on it, but there's a lot to admire, actually, about what we were shown. I like this Holly Hunter character maybe the most out of all the characters. Maybe she kind of reminds me of my mom, like, a little controlling. And I'm the youngest.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like because Ramon was so heavily featured in the pilot, I maybe identified with that a little bit. I gotta say, I had trouble with Greg just because personally, I'm sort of tired of, like, doomed rich white men crying.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Over their own choices. Like, oh man, I'm so sad I cheated. Like, I don't know. Especially when there's shows like The Chi, which are about real poverty. Yeah. I have trouble, like, oh, it's just when I'm this rich and I can have sex. And
life just wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Did you live in Oregon?
I disagree with all three of you on this Greg character.
You liked him.
I didn't, like, love him, but I thought he was very relatable. And I didn't think he was crying because he cheated. I thought he was crying because his life is, like, getting to a point where he doesn't have any choices left to go anywhere new, and he doesn't know what it is, and he's stuck.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I mean, I didn't have a huge problem with the characters in general. I actually hated the Holly Hunter one the most because it reminded me of a lot of people I grew up with, and it just annoyed me in that way. Sorry to interrupt there. I just wanted to, like, give a different opinion of Greg.
It's okay. Did you want to finish your thought, Linda, or...?
I just feel like... His character, I mean, he's an established author, he is a professor, he's a philosopher, he has the family, and this can't be midlife because he's past midlife breakdown, but I feel like it's more of a, and I feel terrible saying this, but I was going to say it though, a woe is me, like, rich, white, liberal guilt.
Yeah.
And that's not... something that I can't obviously relate to it, but I also can't feel bad for it. Like, your life really isn't that bad. If we compare it to the chai, because I'm always going to say the chi, but the chai, and, like, real life issues, like family members dying, like what we saw today, like real life drama that happened today on Valentine's Day, then you know, this is at the bottom of the list.
I hope if they're calling it depression, I hope that they actually mean like depression. Like, you know, because like depression can happen no matter what's going on in your life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it doesn't always stem from somewhere. It's like a mental health thing, like regardless of how great your life is going. So the fact that they're labeling it that, if they dive more into that and it's like actual, you know,
depression.
Yeah. And then I think that it would, like, you know what I mean? It would be different, and it could, like, really delve deep into the character. And, like, because, you know, on paper he has this great life, but maybe it is some, you know, like, hormone imbalances and mental health issue. And I really hope that they dig into that.
Plus, I do think that's an important thing to bring up with all these shows delving into mental health. Like, I agree with you, Taylor, if that's where they're going, which is where I thought they were going, it doesn't matter who you are or what your life is, that you can be affected by this. And that's where I think it's relatable.
Yeah. That's why I hope they're not just throwing that word around. You know what I mean? I hope they're really serious about he's actually been diagnosed or is going to be diagnosed, and they'll talk more about, you know, what depression really is, because it's, I think, really commonly misused.
Well, and it's interesting because as a philosopher, he acclaimed his following based on this theory he developed, which is like the here and now theory. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is, I guess, I like what Bree said of like his current here and now is not satisfying him. So that's like inherently a very interesting drama or conflict, I mean. I just think I'm at a point where I'm like, do I really care about this show when there are so many, when I've seen it already, kind of, and there are a lot of, I think, more radical explorations of different lives on television. And that's to no one's fault. It's just a question I have to ask of myself, is do I really care right now when I have so many options? But actually, after this conversation, I'm more on board than I was. And again, yeah, I want to credit the show to the fact that it is generating this conversation, because not every show can do that.
Yeah. And it's on HBO, and HBO tends to have really great shows.
I know, they do.
So, I mean, I think back to when I first watched Game of Thrones, the pilot, and I was like, oh, there's really a lot going on here. I don't think I can get into it. And now it's one of my favorite shows, so it might be the same thing.
I hope it is, because in theory I love this show. I just want to love it in real life, too. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the actual writing, I think the show's pretty well written, even if, like, in bite-sized pieces, which is sort of what I would have expected from Alan Ball. Like, he's obviously an ambitious writer, and he's trying to do a lot. I liked a lot of the little nuggets we got of dialogue. How did you guys feel kind of about the writing?
I agree with that. I wrote down, like, some quotes that I liked, because I think there were, like I said, like, the nuggets, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like, the short kind of, like, throwaway one-liners are what I think it did the best on. Like we kind of talked about earlier, like, maybe the big general conversations were the strongest, but, like, the nitty-gritty line-by-line was really, like, you could tell this was an established writer.
Yeah, for sure.
It reminded me a lot of American Beauty, and I loved it, so I felt like, because I love that his style of writing, I was on board with the writing style. Did I think that there was a lot going on and perhaps a little too broken down for me? Yeah, but overall I thought, like you said, that there were some nuggets in there that I thought were beautiful.
Cool.
American Beauty, beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
There you go.
Super funny.
This is one small quip. I think we're going to get into how it's really tough to be a minority, which, because of all the adoption narratives. But I also think when you're as attractive as all these people are, life can't be that hard. Like, I'm like, I know it's probably hard to be, like, adopted from Vietnam or from Liberia, but these people are just too hot to have that hard of a life. I'm just going
to
say it.
To the show's credit, though, because I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
But they are, at least to me, they're more real life pretty than, like, CW would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they still look like real people to me, at least.
Have you guys been to Oregon before?
Huh.
Oh, okay. They look like Oregon 150%.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, this is such a stereotype, but, like, that natural beauty, like, tall, rich, successful, that is Oregon in a nutshell. And then they have, like, this beautiful nature.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was, like, perfect, because that's exactly what you'd see. You'd see, like, the grungy barista, hair pulled back, and, like, the pretty black girl who's, like, into fashion. Like, it was totally Oregon.
They got it right.
Pacific Northwest, I'll say, because, you know.
I just was like, I just can't imagine life's that hard if you're this attractive.
But it wasn't, I don't think it's, so, and that's another question. So you're that attractive and you're that successful, but then, you know, your childhood, some people bounce, not back, but like can move forward from their childhood, and some people can't. Like, they get scarred by it and they have to deal with it.
That's
and
true.
I think that not being adopted, I don't know, but I think that not knowing, and I'm just assuming they don't know specifically about their past, but not knowing their past, that's part of like the disconnect, right? Mm. They came from this perfect upper middle class family, Pacific Northwest, everything seems great, and the parents are like progressive and liberal, mm-hmm. but then, you know, you're adopted. And even in the therapy session, when the dad was like, well, he's not my biological son, like that has to, if you haven't, I don't know, like, if you haven't protected yourself from that and you're still wounded from that, then that will always bring problems, and that's where your problems are. They're inner problems, not outer problems.
It's more of the microaggressions than like the outward, like being homophobic. Like, it's more just like set, like reminding you that you're not the norm, even though you're trying your hardest and you're trying to be accepting. Yeah. That's what I thought was cool about the show, is because it wasn't like the normal, like really aggressive things. It was the really subtle sort of microaggressions.
It's a very female thought. I'm glad we have women on this panel. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I agree with you guys as well. I think like the challenging part that made life hard for them not necessarily wasn't that they weren't white in a way, but it was that the parents would always remind them in that sense. Like how they were talking about their mom, dressing them up in their traditional clothes to go to school for photo day. It's like, it was more important for her to be like, look at how progressive I am, exactly. than to actually just give them mm-hmm. a good childhood regardless.
Yeah. Super interesting. That stuff is so interesting. And that's where This Is Us thrives, right? Is we get to see their childhood and their adulthood. That's what I want this show to be. I want this show to dive in rather than have these characters sort of be mouthpieces, have them be real people.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. Show me, not tell me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's funny because a show like this should be so intimate, but I didn't feel like this episode was very intimate. So I think if the show can really explore the intimacy of the family, I'm on board for sure, mm-hmm. because the writing is great. It's just the show isn't really, for me, working yet.
I think that's what we were talking about earlier. I think you pitching the idea of having the dinner would mm-hmm. have been really smart, because they started super broad and cluttered with the birthday party. Like, maybe save that until like episode 3 and like work your way into that. It was too big of a venue.
And the intro, mm-hmm. at first I was like, am I watching the right show? what's happening right now?
Yeah.
So I thought, like you said, I think that it was very ambitious. But I think that in this pilot episode, there was definitely a lot going on. And now that I think about it, if you think about American Beauty in the movie, you're going to want that like theatrical, dramatic intro and like pull the audience in. But in a series where you have week to week to week, that maybe you can break that up instead of like cram it all into the first episode.
I'm just laughing when you said, what's happening right now? I feel like that should be the slogan for the show.
Yeah.
Here and now. What's happening? HBO.
Do you guys like the title? That's like random, but...
But did you notice that he is part of his book and his theory, and then it was in his speech?
Right.
So I think it's something that's going to be
It feels
ongoing.
Like the right title in the
really?
Sense...
I don't love it.
Yeah. I don't love the show. That's why I feel like the title fits. But... It's a little broad or something, a little unfocused.
Yeah, I didn't get anything from the title. I don't know. I have a thing with titles. Like, I want the title to, like, fit it really well and be perfect, and I don't know that this title, like, fits it super well. That's just a personal note, but...
I feel like my criticisms of the title are the exact same criticisms I have of the show.
Fair enough.
Like, what a deep-seeming idea that doesn't really work as of right now. That's a little snarky of me, but that's what I think, guys.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about the show. Like, I feel like I've been really critical, but it's because I have high expectations and I want the show to be amazing. Because when the potential's so great, that potential not being met's even more crushing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's how Vinyl was for me, too, which was also an HBO show.
I loved Vinyl.
Did you?
I was so sad that it got canceled.
I liked parts of Vinyl, but we can talk about that later. Any last thoughts on Here and Now before we sort of break down our scores and do our last segments with the show?
Are we allowed to like venture into somewhat predictiony things?
We do predictions.
Okay, do we think that at the end on the cliffhanger, do we think that that's like his brother or his dad?
Oh. At that point, I didn't really care. I hardly thought about it.
I feel like
I'm just curious.
I feel like they're related.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like in a, some weird supernatural way that they're related.
Like a Sense8.
But for sure.
Yeah. Maybe like a Sense8. I mean, the numerology stuff is really interesting. I just, yeah, I'm excited about the show in the sense of like so many great ideas. But yeah, I could see them being related.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a reason why I'm a psychiatrist.
I know. Okay, cool. And with that, do you guys want to get into scoring this pilot?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm giving it a 2.8.
Brie, you go next.
I'll give it a 3.2.
You're up.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Cool. You're allowed to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go 3.0.
Man, I gave it the lowest score. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
This is so typical of you, Jeff. You give a show like a low score, be like, I'm going to watch it. Or then you give it a high score, I'm not going to watch it.
I don't like it. You're so right. So I'm the one who created this segment. I think I understand it the least. This is an interesting discussion to have. Our life or death segment. Do we think this show is going to get a second season based on the pilot alone?
I'm going to say that, yes, it's going to get a second season. I think that HBO tends to give second seasons. I think that because Alan Ball is attached with it, they're going to give it a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I'm going to say yes, too, because HBO doesn't really have a show like this right now, unless I'm wrong. But I don't think they do. They have the big sci-fi-y type shows. This is different.
They do have Divorce or The Divorce.
Yeah, Divorce.
Which is kind of
a little bit
family-ish, but not quite.
Yeah, Togetherness would have been the most recent comparison, which was a show that I loved that they canceled. But it's funny, I agree with you guys. I think there's a lot the show has going for it. Alan Ball, it's filling a niche. But I'm a little worried about the show. Yeah, because I think it also has some big strikes. And HBO is prone to greenlight second seasons, I think. But if a show, like you look at a show like Vinyl, and they didn't. And you could argue that because Alan Ball's attached... But that was Martin Scorsese.
And technically, they did renew Vinyl the first episode, and then they ended up canceling it anyway.
Yeah, or like the Deuce, or not the Deuce. The what was that show called? The Jack Black and the Atom Bomb. Oh, I can't remember.
What?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that was an example of a show that was also greenlit and then it was canceled.
The Brink.
Yeah.
The Brink. That's right. I just think. Because HBO spends a lot on their shows, and this show might not be that expensive,
looks expensive.
It does look really nice. I'm a little worried about this show. If I had put my life on it, I would say we're not getting a second season of this show right now.
Really? What's the biggest X to you again?
Well, just because, like, the critics have savaged this show, which is really interesting. In general, critics are not liking it. And I think HBO is a network that will support its fledgling shows as long as they're getting Emmys or good
reviews.
And because, even though this is a well-written, ambitious show, I think if it doesn't find its audience and it doesn't have critical acclaim, I'm just a little worried about it, even with Alan Ball. But who knows? Let us know in the comments what you think. And Brie, did you want to add anything or...
No, I mean, I agree with you, Jeff. Based on the pilot alone, if we're not basing it on the fact that there's star power and everything, just on the writing of the pilot, I would say no, it's not going to get a second season.
Yeah, we'll see. But related to that, Linda.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let us know what you guys think in the comments, whether or not you think this show should get a second season, will get a second season, and importantly, whether or not we should be running an after show for HBO's Here and Now. As of right now, I don't believe we are. Brie can correct me.
We are not.
But if it's something you guys really want to see in our schedule, we take that seriously and the producers will consider it. So let us know what you think. And if we were hard on this show today, let us know. Disagree with us in the comments. Let us know why you love the show. I think Taylor liked it more than the rest of us, which is great. The beauty of this show is that we kind of have the freedom to not necessarily agree on what we're watching because we're just watching pilots. So let us know. Join the conversation. If you want to do that, you can do that on Twitter. To me, Jeff at Jeffrey C. Graham, and of course, my brilliant co-host
Linda Antwi at Linda So Girly.
Taylor Gates on Twitter at @alphabet_Anne and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
And Brianna.
Hi, you guys can find me at bfips14 on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. And just so you guys know quickly, Taylor Gates, who's joining today, will be coming on a show that I host on Fridays called The Unproduced Table Read.
Yay!
where we table read unproduced pilots, and it's a fun story because Taylor sent her pilot along, and I was like, oh man, I hope I like it because I really want to bring her on the show. Unfortunately, I really did. It's a very well written pilot.
Yeah, so
if you guys, yeah, it's gonna be really fun. So if you guys want to hear what Taylor's writer's voice is like, join us on Friday on the Popcorn Talk Network at 10 a.m.
Awesome.
Guys, we'll see you next week here for TV Pilot Reviews. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.